Thank you very, very much, Vanessa. That was excellent. Well, I think I'm getting a much better understanding of what's going on with the Affordable Care Act, that's for sure. Thank you for again. Our next speaker will be talking about oral health care in California and ensuring children's timely access to services. Eileen Espejo, who's Director of Media and Health Policy with Children Now. She will be she's responsible for their policy, education, and outreach efforts to improve timely access for children in California. She also leads the organization's national efforts to improve the media environment for children, co-chairing the Children's Media Policy Coalition to address such issues as interactive advertising and educational programming. Eileen, let's give a round of applause.
Good afternoon. And so I was asked to fill in for Colin Roysch from the Children's Dental Health Project. And when Vanessa was talking about where she was when you heard the Supreme Court decision, I was actually in their offices in Washington, D.C. So little did I know that Colin was going to ask me to then fill in for him at today's meeting. So thank you for having me today. I'm going to kind of take the scenic route on how what Herb and Vanessa have talked about today is how it could possibly impact California and how we provide oral health care to children. And I wanted to provide you with the policy context for under which oral health care services are being delivered to children today. This is the slide that I was asked to include, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. And for those of you who do not know, Children Now is a national nonprofit organization that focuses on children's well-being. We have an early learning and development team, a K-12 team, a health team, of course, and then, of course, the media program, making sure that children can grow up in a healthy and thrive in their environments. So the questions that I'm going to answer today, instead of posing them to you, and again, to set up the policy context for what I'm going to talk about later on, is how has dental managed care served children in California? We have two counties in California that receive their dental care through managed care. Those are Sacramento, which is a mandatory county where children in Medi-Cal have to enroll in dental managed care, and then in Los Angeles County, where it is voluntary, where children can either receive their dental their care through either managed care or through the fee-for-service delivery system. The second question that I'm going to answer today is more dental managed care coming to California, and what have we learned as a result? And that's really going to get at how what we've learned as a result might have implications for the exchange. So in Sacramento County, where it's mandatory managed care, these statistics are from fiscal year 2010 to 2011, and it's across age ranges. So the state average was 48.5%, and you can see across all age ranges, it wasn't even hitting the state average. So this is where children have to receive mandatory managed care. And then in Los Angeles, where it's voluntary, you can see actually across age ranges, it's worse in Los Angeles, where it's voluntary, versus in Sacramento. I'll just go back really quick. Sorry, I didn't apply the values to each graph. So overall, the answer to the first question is not well. You have an average dental utilization rate in those two counties being much lower than the statewide average. And so due to the low utilization rate, especially for children in Sacramento County where it is mandatory, there was a lot of legislative and media scrutiny to bear on this earlier this year. And Senator Daryl Steinberg, who is the chair of the Budget Committee, who also represents Sacramento, said things need to change. And so as a result of what was going on in Sacramento, the Department of Health Care Services issued an immediate action expectations letter, a call to action for all of the dental managed care plans that were operating in Sacramento, and outlined a series of actions that the plans needed to take in order to increase utilization. The other thing I want to point out very quickly is that we do in California, we do have the Healthy Families Program, and that's our separate CHIP program, and they are known to have had a different more of a focus on dental care, or at least access and utilization to care. And that's important because I'm going to get into what also is going on in California with the budget regarding a transition of 865,000 children from healthy families into the Dentical fee-for-service program. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so the reaction I was getting into, this is the media scrutiny. Back in February, the Center for Health Reporting was talking about the model dental program proves painful for kids, because in Sacramento it was a pilot program when it was first introduced, and it hadn't changed from its status as a pilot program up until earlier this year, when we were finding out that the utilization of the program was much lower than the statewide average. Wow, I didn't know I did that animation on that last one. anyway. So, and then the thing to keep in mind, too, is that these are reactions to Sacramento. And then when I showed you the slide in L.A., that actually the utilization in Los Angeles County was worse, and it was in a voluntary county, we were able to get the Department of Healthcare Services to also set up specific county-specific stakeholder process meetings to also talk about how our plans in Los Angeles County also going to raise their utilization rates for children there. So the immediate action expectations that I talked about, that the Department of Healthcare Services put out that call to action, it was involving beneficiary outreach. The dental managed care plans needed to create specific letters for their 0 to 5 beneficiaries and then their older beneficiaries, so those children over 6. They had to send them letters. They needed to call beneficiaries across age ranges who had not received a dental visit within the past 12 months. The plans had to work together to create an informational flyer to send information out to parents and caregivers of why is it important for you to bring your child in for preventive services. Don't just wait until there's dental pain. They also had to provide educational seminars to providers to make sure that providers know that they're being expected to deliver these services to the children that need it most, and also to identify other providers that could be part of the system. And then finally, to make sure that the dental managed care plans are maximizing the benefit of using federally qualified health centers to help deliver care, since we really wanted to make sure that the FQHCs could be that dental home for kids. In addition to the immediate action expectations that the Department of Healthcare Services sent out, it was also time for the state to put out their new contracts for the dental managed care plans that were going to be delivering the services to children in Los Angeles and to Sacramento. And so they changed their process. Instead of making it a request for applications, they made it competitive by saying this is going to be a request for proposals. It's going to be the plans who are going to participate in the delivery system are going to be scored. It's going to be the top scoring applications that are going to continue on. In the RFP, it also outlined that the plans that do get chosen to deliver the care to kids in Los Angeles and Sacramento are going to be subject to an external quality review organization to audit performance measures and also to conduct the annual surveys. Provider monitoring was to be conducted by plans. You can see that the state is saying, okay, no more low utilization rates. We are going to provide the oversight and monitoring that is required to make dental managed care work. So you can see this is kind of the result of all that. New performance measures with benchmarks broken down by age group. This was unheard of. So now you have benchmarks that actually integrated some of the Healthy Families benchmarks. And as I mentioned before, Healthy Families had this reputation of doing a little bit more in terms of the dental performance measures. So now the Healthy Families measures are actually integrated into what's expected of the dental managed care plans, and with benchmarks broken down by age group. So are the 0 to 3-year-olds getting their preventive dental visit versus, you know, maybe just 0 to 21? And that the results will be posted online. So you have an accountability measure that is something that, you know, as an advocate, we're very excited about. And then finally, another thing that had been missing was increased withhold amounts for performance measures and then bonus payments for outstanding plans. And I should mention that these contracts, they were just announced within the past couple of weeks. So they have just come out, and this is new. Okay, so this kind of answers, I don't even know which question it was, the second question. Did dental managed care expand? It actually did not. The budget that passed, because of the scrutiny, I believe, that Los Angeles and Sacramento County received. There was a proposal to expand dental managed care, but because of what was going on, it did not expand. There's a lot of pressure, you can imagine, on Department of Healthcare Services and these plans now to demonstrate that the actions that they're taking now make the case for dental managed care to reach the state later, possibly. Also, the budget that passed eliminated the Healthy Families Program, and so now that's where I was talking about the transition of about 865,000 children from Healthy Families into DentaCal, which is a fee-for-service. When I'm talking about what is the transition, it's that children's medical services will be delivered through managed care, and then in dental, it's going to be fee-for-service during that transition, so it's different. The performance measures for dental managed care are going to apply for fee-for-service, and we thought that was something that was really important. Couple questions, but one of the big questions is, how are the provider networks being defined, and what are the standards that the state is using, primarily for the fee-for-service network? Just because I work on the oral health side of things, that's kind of where Children Now is looking at, how is the state going to certify network adequacy standards, for which they're supposed to send a report to the state this Thursday. So by this Thursday, there's supposed to be a report that says we have certified network adequacy for the medical side of things and for the dental side of things, so that this transition that's going to happen because of what happened in the budget, that this transition can then go forward starting no later than January 2013. So this Thursday is a key day in our timeline of events regarding this transition. So how does this all relate to what's going on at the federal level? So the POHAP is our acronym for the Pediatric Oral Health Action Plan that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has asked states to submit a plan for, saying how are you going to increase the use of preventive dental services, but then also sealants for older children. And so we think, based on what the state is going through right now, there are some best practices that we could include in that state action plan as it gets developed. We've had conversations with CMS to talk to them about what we think could work, and I understand that CMS is supposed to be having conversations with the state as well. We also think that the application of the dental performance measures of the dental managed care plans and fee-for-service models is a good thing, because that hasn't happened before, and we think that that is something that could also be applied in the implementation of the California Health Benefit Exchange. And so we have advocated at the Health Benefit Exchange to integrate the performance measures that are already in the dental managed care plans because of the new RFPs, that are going to be in the fee-for-service plans because of what's going on with the transition, just carry it all forward and make it all standard once the health board exchange is fully implementing ACA in 2014. And then finally, ensuring the consumer protections and cost transparency of standalone dental plans that are participating in the health board exchange. And we're expecting that standalone dental plans are going to be part of the exchange, if not just because California is such a big state that we require diverse delivery systems in order to make sure that children get the care that they need. In ensuring consumer protections, we want to make sure that any standalone dental plan is being certified according to what other qualified health plans are, that they're, you know, if they're going to participate in exchange, they need to be held to the same standards. And then cost transparency is really to help the parents and caregivers who are going to be making selections about, are they going to have a combo package of medical and dental? Well, shouldn't they also see what the cost of just dental is when they're making their decisions about what kind of plan they're going to be purchasing for their children? And it's especially important because of the pediatric oral care essential health benefit that we want to make sure that parents know that they need to be purchasing dental coverage for their kids as part of their overall health for their child. And the last thing I'll say, I have 5 minutes. Okay, let's see. The next last thing I'll say, Well, before I go to that, the one last thing is one of the last things I'll say about this slide is that California did pass two bills to establish its essential health benefits package specific to pediatric oral care, and we chose the Healthy Families Benchmark scope of benefits. and that was just enrolled and chaptered, so that's set. So I do feel that California knows that they want to use the Healthy Families Benchmark to provide that scope of benefits to children, and that's actually what our California Society of Pediatric Dentistry and the California Dental Association and other dental plans, that's what they were familiar with when they were serving children in the Healthy Families program, and so we thought that made the most sense. So I think we're set in that regard. Okay, so what did I tell you today? How has dental managed care served children in California? not well. Is more dental managed care coming to California? Not yet. And what have we learned as a result? I couldn't come up with a not. I couldn't say it's like not nothing. Or I could have. I know. So I had to try to come up with something a little punchy, and I don't know if it works. But it's still in progress. We're still loading. We're still learning. But I do think that all of the scrutiny that that the dental managed care delivery system received earlier this year, albeit it was negative, but it was attention nonetheless, and we're just trying to leverage all the good things that are happening as a result of that. And I think it does put California in a good position to make sure that pediatric oral care through the exchange is being delivered in an efficient way and that consumers, parents, and families know what they need to be doing to provide the coverage and services to kids. And that's my contact information. Did I end early?
No, that's okay.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Well, that was great. We've come full cycle from broad perspective, oral health, what are some of the priorities of the association and what's happening on the state level. We plan this in such a way that there'd be at least 15 to 20 minutes for Q&A, because I always feel the best part of any panel is the interaction. And I think first, do the panelists have any questions of each other before we open it up to the audience? Any questions among each other? Okay. Well, let me ask the first question then.
Do you all find that fair?
Well, I'm going to use it. I wrote this term down, shameless health promotion. I like that term. I guess the question I have is probably the question everyone in this room has, is let's say as a result of the election, someone other than President Obama gets in. And let's say the Senate changes. What is there in the Affordable Care Act that has already been passed that will stay, and what is at jeopardy? And of those things that are already passed, what conceivably could we lose? Not a simple answer, but I'd just be curious to know, are there things in there that no matter who gets in, they'll always be there, or is everything at risk?
My job is a federal government job, very seriously, and it's based on policy. I can't conjecture about anything that has anything to do with that big P side.
Okay.
My work is directed at continuing to work to implement the provisions of this law in every way possible, working with not only government but non-government.
Okay. Okay. Vanessa?
Yeah, I hesitate for pretty much the same reason. As I said, we're funded largely through a federal grant, and the Policy Center itself is non-political. We just do the same. We're doing the policy analysis and the implementation. I think I'm going to punt that one and just say that no matter what happens with the election, we are going to work with whatever happens and keep an eye on things and move forward as best we can.
Eileen?
Okay, I'm going to, because we're an advocacy organization, but I'm going to look into our crystal ball. And everyone knows that California was the first state to set up their exchange. And so I think that there is a certain expectation that, and there have been laws that have been passed already well in advance of other states even deciding whether or not they want the feds to run it or they're going to set their own exchange. I think they've passed laws to indicate their interest and intent and commitment no matter what happens.
Okay.
However, I mean, we need money. And if people don't know that about California by now, you know it now. I'm saying now. We are a broke state. So we're going to need support. And I don't know how many of the things might fall through the cracks if
okay.
It's different.
Okay, let's open it up to the audience. Questions, comments from the audience? Yes. Could you identify yourself, please?
I'm Donna Domino. I write for DrBycuster.com. We're an online dental news site.
Could you stand up?
And so, Herb, you mentioned this fluoride chemo program. Could you expand on that? Is that giving the states or giving communities money to install fluoride programs?
No, what it was is under the public health and prevention provisions, there is a historic reform which has most key preventive health care services, cancer screenings, diabetes screening, asthma, HIV. You cannot be charged a copayment, a deductible, or any sort of coinsurance. So no out-of-pocket costs in order to access key preventive services, those that are on the A and B of the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. And the two that are cited by us and others that qualify as free preventive services in terms of oral health, one of them is fluoride chemo prevention supplements for those who do not have access to fluoride in their water. Is how it is done. So supplements that then provide that fluoride, you cannot be charged a copayment, deductible, or coinsurance to be able to get those supplements, if you will.
So what are we talking about? What would they be given? If I'm in a community that doesn't have fluoride, what would I get?
Well, there's supplements. I'm not an expert on what exactly the supplements are. I can follow up with you today if you want me to talk to our oral health folks at CDC and the other part of this. But I can follow up with you.
Yeah. Okay. Is anyone in the room? It's probably fluoride rinses and systemic fluoride tablet prescriptions or varnish. I would expect it's any of those, but I don't know for a fact.
I'm happy to pull up the exact rinses.
But I would expect it's any of those. Okay.
But that, and the other one was risk assessments for young children, 0 to 11 months, one to four, and then 5 to 10 years. And those risk assessments for children would also be free preventive services in those three buckets of ages, 0 to 11 months, 1 to 4, and then 5 to 10.
Okay. Anyone else want to respond to that? Would it include dental sealants? Would you know offhand or not? Okay.
But I will pull it out and make it available.
Great. Thank you. Other questions? Yes.
There are provisions actually around sealants and trying to expand the use of sealants and stuff. So.
Could you stand and introduce yourself?
Sorry. I had a question for Eileen, actually. My name is Sarah Jones. I'm from the UCLA Building Public Health. You mentioned that managed care utilization rates were low, but I didn't really hear anything about why that was. Did you guys do any research into why those utilization rates were low? Were people just not aware of their benefits, or were they not able to make the payments? I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was that, so I think plans were saying that some parents don't know that they're supposed to bring their kids in, so it was probably like the parent education piece. I think it was also that the scrutiny really came in because there were patients in Sacramento County that were waiting for months to get care, and they were talking about the authorizations and access. There are also a number of providers that just don't see young kids. So if you're getting the per member, the PMPM rate, regardless of whether you're seeing the kids or not. So there wasn't the incentive then to get kids into the chairs necessarily until the plans were getting the pressure from the oversight and the monitoring from the Department of Healthcare Services to say, you need to do a better job, because we're paying you this much per month, no matter whether you see the kids or not. So what are you guys doing to get them in the chair? So that's where you see the immediate action expectations was. Send out the letters, try to set up the appointment, talk to your providers, all that, because these are contracts that the dental managed care plans have with the state to deliver that care. So it's really about enforcing the contract.
Dr. Pollack, you want to comment on this issue or something else? On this issue?
I have something on this issue. Are the plans, the organizations that administer these plans, are they for-profit MCOs or not-for-profit?
The plans are for-profit.
They're for-profit. Okay.
That may give a reason for your lower utilization rate? Because they get paid per capita, correct?
They get paid per member per month.
Yeah, and that may be, when you have that, you have underutilization. When it's fee-for-service, you have overutilization. So you've got to find a way to get in the middle. That's not easy.
Yeah.